So we're going to read Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you, God, have heard my vows, and you have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then I will ever sing in praise of your name and fulfill my vows day after day.
Do keep your Bibles open as we look at God's Word together. Let's pray. Father, we pray now that you give us your Holy Spirit to soften our hearts to your Word. We know that your Holy Spirit wrote your words through the prophets and the apostles. We pray now that the same Spirit would live in us to interpret that Word, to make it powerful to change us, become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so do keep that open. I think it's page 579. And let's just start with a question. So what do you normally do when you get into trouble?
Oh, thank you.
What do you normally do when you get into trouble? What are different things that get you into trouble? I think Luke has an idea. What do you normally do when you get into trouble? Yeah. Call the phone. Call the fire engine. Yes. Good. Ask for help. Well, actually, I think that's very wise because a lot of us might not do something like that. And what kind of trouble do we get in? For example, let's say you've gotten into a fight with a friend or a family member or a loved one. What do you do when that happens? Or let's say you have an assignment that's late, either at school or in your workplace. And the pressure is building, and you haven't turned it in, and you know there are consequences. Or what happens when someone in your family becomes seriously ill? That's trouble, isn't it? How do we deal with that? Or more seriously, when there are finances that just, they're a bit tight, and we're not sure what we're going to do next. And, you know, these days, maybe that's the case. How do we react in those situations? Well, in order to help us think about that, I will need three volunteers, three children, who'd like to come forward. Yeah, Emma, you can come forward. Who else? Levi, you can come forward. Anyone else? Yeah, at the back? All right, so I've got three things for you to choose from. The first is a very nice cupcake. Looks nice, doesn't it? The second one is a full game of Subway Runners on my phone. Does anyone play Subway Runners? Have you played Subway Runners? A little bit, yeah? Kind of old school now. And then the last one is a tent. Okay, so we're going to go from youngest to oldest in terms of choices. Oh, can't get that open, can I? Aye, aye, aye. All right, there we go. All right, so youngest to oldest. Emma, which one would you like? And you get to keep the cupcake if you like. I knew that would win. Here you go. Here's your cupcake. Go stand over there. Just past the tent. So who would like... who wants to choose? Yeah, Levi, go next. What would you like? The tent. All right, okay, go ahead. So you're left with the video game.
Okay.
All right, so go ahead over there and tell me, how happy are you with your choices? So Levi, you can go ahead and get into the tent if you like. How happy are you with your choices? Yeah, is that a good choice? Yeah? Yeah, you look quite happy, Emma. It's quite nice. Well, there's something I didn't tell you, which is actually... I have something else that I brought with me today. Oh, go get back in, because something's going to happen. You better get back in. What is this here?
It's like a squirt gun, isn't it? And actually, if you're not careful, so how happy are you now with your video game? Are you still happy with your video game, even though you're going to get squirted? Emma, are you still happy? Do you wish you had the tent? Yeah, I would too. All right, okay, do take a seat. Emma, you can keep that cupcake. Yeah, here you go. Go ahead. You can eat it when your parents say, oh, too bad. Game's over. All right, so what's going on there? When we face difficulties, I think that a lot of the times we take one of these three options. The first option we take is the cupcake option, right? Which is troubles afoot, we're stressed out, and so we go for pleasure. Anyone have an emergency tub of ice cream at home for this? Yeah? And pleasure of any kind, right? It could be going out with friends. It could be some form of technology, you know, Netflix. It could be something that's actually immoral, but at the end of the day, it's the pleasure that's helping us get through that trouble, trying to comfort us. Others of us, we don't go for pleasure, we go for accomplishments, right? So playing a video game, what's nice about playing a video game? It's fun because you feel like you get something done, right? You get some points at the end. And so when we face trouble, maybe we're of the type that we work hard. We make a plan. We get organized. We talk to the right people. And yet in both of those situations, it kind of fails, doesn't it? I mean, when the trouble actually comes, when the squirt gun comes, I mean, you finish eating the ice cream, you're still in trouble. Right? You've made all your plans. But the reality is you wouldn't feel so stressed out if it was something that you could actually fix, right? All that effort won't actually solve it because it's precisely something that's bigger than us. And so what do we do? Well, I think the answer is we need to find shelter. We need to find shelter in something bigger than us. So let's take a look at what David does. So David, in Psalm 63, look at verse 1. Let's read that together. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. I mean, it's amazing how often I get into trouble and I don't even pray. But the first thing he does is he prays to God. He talks to God. Why? Why does he do that? Look at verse 2. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He's honest. He's faint. He's not going to be able to make it. None of that pleasure, none of that work is going to solve the problem. He needs help. But specifically, look at what kind of help he needs. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He needs something bigger than him. And the pleasure and the accomplishments are smaller than him. He needs a shelter. He needs a tent. Something that he can get into. Right? A real shelter. How can we know, though, that God's a real shelter? Like, it's easy enough, right? This tent feels like a good shelter. You know, you can see it. And David's confident. He's going to go to God, and God's going to be a shelter. But how do we know that God's actually going to come through? Well, David tells us, verse 3, for, that's the word right there, because the reason is, you have been my refuge. You have been a strong tower against the foe, against the enemy. And David had real enemies that were much stronger than him. Do you remember? Goliath? I mean, literally bigger than him, right? What was he supposed to do? This little kid coming up to a massive giant, all fit out with his armor and his spear and his massive shield. Yeah, I mean, he needs someone else to carry part of it for him because he's got so much stuff. David's coming at him with a few pebbles. What does David say about that? You have been my refuge against the foe. Or Saul. Saul was the king of the entire country. He was in charge. And back then, There was no justice system. There was no like judges that you could go to and appeal in court and say, I've been mistreated. No, if the king said something, that's it. Right? Or finally, when he was betrayed by his own son. His own son that corralled everyone else in the city against David, won over their loyalty, and David had to run away from his own home to survive. God said, you have been my refuge. You have been a strong tower against the foe. And so because God has been like that for David, what does he say? Verse 4, I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Because of his past experience, David knows that God will protect him. God will take care of him. God will help him. God will comfort him. And so that's what he ends up desiring. And isn't that what I need as well? Isn't that what you need? When you face trouble, not just thinking, oh, you know, guess I should pray, but earnestly desiring it, saying, I know this is the only way I'm going to get help. This is the only way I'm going to be comforted. I desire God's shelter. I desire God's help. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to sing that. We're going to sing that together, that we will come and we'll have shelter in God. So if the musicians are happy to come forward for that. We're going to sing these words where we say that we need to be hid in God. Hide me now under the shelter of your wings, like a bird that's sheltering her chicks. Underneath your wings, cover me with your mighty hand, because God is bigger than us, isn't he? He's stronger. And when trouble comes, that feels like an ocean that's rising and thundering, God is still king. And so let's continue then to think about what God has to teach us here in Psalm 61. We've seen that when trouble comes, God is the only shelter that can actually protect us from the storm. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I wonder. So David was allowed to have shelter in God. Why? Why was he allowed to take shelter? Why was God protecting him? Remember what we saw about God at the beginning, that he is high, he's exalted over everything. And so when we look down at Psalm 61, do make sure you keep that open. What does David say? He says, verse 5, for you, God, have heard my vows. And what he's going to do now is he's going to list a series of reasons that he should be allowed to have shelter in God's tent. In other words, he's brought the right equipment. Now, do we have anyone here who's brought the right equipment for camping? Anyone? What a coincidence. Is this how you normally come on Sundays? All right, so what are the kinds of things that you have for camping? Binoculars, okay. What are the binoculars for? Seeing, yeah. I guess, yeah, good point. Yeah, what else do you have? Walkie-talkies, okay. What are you going to do with the walkie-talkie?
Communicate
with people. You're going to tell people where you are, right? And say, oh, I'll meet you over there by that ridge. I think. And then what else do you have?
Sleeping bag,
okay.
Rope,
yeah.
Map.
And a map. Oh, can I see the map? Boy, that looks quite good, doesn't it? I haven't seen one of these for ages. But actually, in the wilderness, you're probably not going to find Starbucks Wi-Fi, are you? So all of these things means that Callan here he's ready to camp. He deserves to go in the tent. I mean, he might not want to. He deserves to go in. He's got all the right equipment, right? And so now if we take a look at what David has, what does he say? Verse 5, for you, God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. God has heard David's vows. So just like the walkie-talkie, David has communicated with God, and he said to him, God, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to vow to you. I'm going to promise to do what you say. That's part of finding shelter in God. But not only that, David also, he's brought his binoculars. Right? He says that he's going to be given the heritage, right? He's going to be given the inheritance, what is owed to those who fear God's name. That is, he's got his eyes on God. He's paying attention to God. He sees that God is the most important. God is the only one to be taken seriously. And finally, David has listened to what God has said. David has his map. He's obeyed God's word. Now, this gets even harder, doesn't it? Because the more I talk about this, the more you start to wonder, have I done any of those things? Have I said my vows and kept them? How many times have you promised something to God when something's really, really hard? You're like, okay, God, just do this for me once, and I'll read the Bible every morning for half an hour. And then the moment it's sorted, you kind of forget. Or what about fearing God? How often do we just even forget that God's there? I mean, that happens the moment I walk into the office. What about his word? How often do I remember his word? And this then gets even worse. I mean, look with me at verses 6 to 7, right? What does it say? He says, increase the days of the king's life. Who's taking shelter here? The king. His years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. You see, there is only one king, isn't there? There's only one camper in this room. Only one camper in this room who deserves to go into the tent. And yet, if we keep on thinking about it, it gets worse. Because did David really keep his vows? Did he? Did David really fear the Lord? Can anyone remember something that David did that might show us that he didn't? I was actually talking with my son about it last night. David killed a man. And he stole his wife. David did not keep his vows, which he made when he became king. He did not fear the Lord. He wasn't paying attention to the law of God. He wasn't acting as God's king. So not even David should be allowed to go into God's shelter. And if he can't, what chance do we have? Well, there is actually hope. There is hope. So for this, I need one last volunteer. Anyone want to come up? The child? Maybe Theo, do you want to come up? All right, Theo, I know you're very excited, but I've got some bad news for you. You're not a camper. So do you deserve to go into the camping tent? You don't, do you? But the thing is, I have a feeling that the camper in this room is quite generous. I have a feeling he might make you into a camper. Look at that. He's giving you his binoculars. Is that quite nice? Oh, he's giving you his map. His walkie-talkie. You know, and I think he might even give you his hat. Whoa! So Theo, were you a camper before? No, you weren't. But what has Kaling done for you? You become a camper. The true camper gives everything that makes him a camper to the person who isn't. The true king, Jesus Christ, who did fear God, who did keep his vows, who did obey the word, and who is the true king, right? Here's his little crown. The true king, he gives us all of those things so that we can go into God's shelter. And we can deserve to go in, not because we've done what's right, but because he did. And that means that we can come to God with full confidence that he will welcome us into his shelter. He will protect us. And so that leads us to verse 8, if you want to get those. That leads us to verse 8. All right, let's read that together. Then I will ever sing in praise of your name and fulfill my vows day by day. Because we are in Christ, because he's the perfect camper who gave us all of his equipment, we are now protected from the storm, right? We can go into God's shelter and be protected. And we can sing forever of that salvation, just like David did, even though we don't deserve it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the perfect shelter. We thank you that you're so much better than pleasure and accomplishments. We thank you that you are the rock that is higher than us, that is bigger than us. And we thank you that Jesus went before us as the true King, as the true person who deserved to be sheltered by you, to be even enthroned by you. He went first, and he accepted the penalty we deserved. He became exposed. He died on the cross, taking the punishment we deserved. He was out of your tent. He was out of your shelter so that we could be brought in. We thank you, Lord, for this. And we thank you that we can ever sing praise to your name, and because we are in Christ, can enjoy your protection. Amen.